All right. Good morning, kiddos. Or good afternoon or good evening, depending on when you're listening, but it's morning for me. Welcome back to another episode of High Minded Seeking Righteousness. Today, we're going to be talking about consideration and understanding. And normally, I like to focus on just one concept or, well, one word. But under this circumstance, with either of these two concepts or these two virtues, it's in my experience, it's important that they go hand in hand, or quite often they do go hand in hand. And similar to love and marriage, you can't have one without the other. For my Married with Children fans out there, the two are very tied together. Now, I'm going to spend the first half an hour trying to focus on consideration, and I do veer off, so bear with me. And I do think that that's just an important part of naturally speaking, or naturally communicating, is that your thought processes will take you down different roads. Now, for the sake of the podcast, I do have to bring myself back on track, but it's important that I'm able to discuss these things freely and without trepidation or concern of making sure that I keep it in some specific format. I want to make sure that the information that I get out is accurate and true and genuine. And that requires me to just go with the flow of the dialogue. So with that, I'm going to spend the first half an hour on consideration, hopefully the second half an hour on understanding and how the two work together. But there will be overlap throughout, because I do believe that they go hand in hand. With that being said, let's go first into the definition of consideration. Consideration is careful thought, typically over a period of time. And again, you don't want to spend too much time, because you don't have all the time in the world. As we know, today is all we have, the moment that we're in, and tomorrow's never promised. When consideration is also defined as thoughtfulness and sensitivity towards others, or a fact or a motive taken into account in deciding or judging something. And we've already talked about judgment and how motives are significant to consider the motives of people. But that thoughtfulness and sensitivity towards others is really important in getting us towards ultimately the righteousness that we're seeking. Now, from the Bible's perspective, as far as consideration, the word itself, it's not specifically used very often as the word consideration. But if you look to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests," which indicates that, of course, we have to look to our own interests, or that we do, at least. We do look to our own interests, not that we have to. But we do. "But let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others," considering the interest of others and the importance of that. So practicing consideration, now that we have a sense of what consideration is, I think for the most part, common sense and just being, you know, even an adult at any point in your life, you know what consideration is. You know what it means to consider something. But how much are we actually practicing that consideration? And that's really where we want to actively spend our time with all of these concepts and these precepts, is actively keeping them at the forefront of our conscious mind, so that when we're faced with decisions or in any interaction with another human being, we can make these things important and significant. So an example that I can think of where consideration is important to others is because, again, we want to treat others the way we would want to be treated. Now, it's often misunderstood. And if you give this consideration, that it's not about saying, well, you know what, I like apples, so I'm going to go give apples to everyone. That is a very surface level way to think about it. You're looking at the person and say, well, if I want to do unto this person the way I would like done unto me, I like apples, so I'm going to give them apples. But this person may hate apples. So you haven't given appropriate consideration to what the intent is of this golden rule that, you know, we used to be taught when I was in elementary school. And it was a biblical concept, because we know there's wisdom in it. We know that there's kindness in it, and that's ultimately where I believe a lot of us are trying to live. You're going to steer away from people who are trying to do unto others as they can just get as much from them as possible, which is unfortunately what we deal with on a daily basis. So to consider, if we want to take consideration into treating other people the way we would want to be treated, you have to say, well, you have to go a step further than just saying, I like apples and I wish everybody gave me apples, so I'm going to give everybody apples. That's not, in fact, the way to go, because you're not considering that person may not like apples. And what you really want to do when you're doing unto others is not do what you want them to do to you. You got to go to that next level, and you got to say, well, what I really want is I want them to give me the fruit that I like, the fruit that makes me happy, not specifically the apple. Well, if I like apples, I'm going to give apples to everybody. Well, somebody might be allergic to apples. Another one may throw up every time they eat an apple. This person may be given bad memories when they see an apple. So consideration can bring us to that next level where we say, well, if I consider the intention of the behavior here, what you really want to do is give the fruit that these people like, or that makes them as happy as you get when you get an apple. And it will be different for each individual. You're considering their feelings, you're considering their desires, you're considering them specifically. It's a case-by-case basis. It's not intended for us to say, well, I'm just going to do exactly like I like riding a bike, so I'm going to go around and tell everybody to come ride a bike with me because I know that I like it. Well, no, you know that it makes you happy. So for someone else, something different may make them happy. And the intention, and if you give it consideration and you consider the feelings and the desires of the heart and the happiness of the other person or the other people that you're interacting with, then you'll find that it's not about the specifics of what you want them to like or what you yourself like. It's about, or what makes you specifically happy, it's about behaving in a way that makes them happiness, or brings them happiness, that makes them happy, that shows them love. And that's why love, universally, that's why love is the greatest of these, because universally, all human beings, when you're acting in love, receive that. It has a positive effect on them. They may be resistant, they may lash out, they may not be able to receive it because of habits and other things, but in addition, you have to consider that. So consideration of others has to do with determining ultimately the differences between you and these other people's, or these other people and their feelings. Consider their feelings, their desires, and considering their happiness. Now, it's very difficult. Certain things are difficult because of happiness or because of habits and things that people have gone through in their life and their determination on what they think another person wants. So, given an interaction, I use the example of apples and oranges, which I think we all know. There's differences in what makes other people happy and what other people want from you. And there's differences in what other people expect. Now, expectation needs to be considered, but it needs to be put off to the side when it comes to your behavior. You just have to be open and transparent with any expectations that you have. Now, when we're dealing with another human being, and I'll go to an example here that most people have more than likely dealt with, where there's somebody, two people, that have very different opinions on something. And I'm going to latch on to Democrat and Republican here, because these are two boxes where we find ourselves rejecting consideration and understanding. Now, I'm not going to go into my political positions. As a matter of fact, I try to avoid having any political positions whatsoever. If I have any feelings about somebody's behavior, I deal with their specific behavior and them on that individual personal level, instead of boxing them in and saying, well, you're a Democrat, or you're a Republican, or you're a Libertarian, or you're a Quaker, or whatever they think they are, or whatever they subscribe to, and deal with them on an individual level instead of putting them in a box and giving myself an enemy and joining a team. But so when you're dealing with another human being, you have to consider that there are reasons that you may not and possibly cannot understand for their level of thinking or their determination or on their own belief system. So as a Christian person, I know Muslims, and there is some similarities with the Muslim faith, and there are some stark contrasts and very significant differences in those faiths. But considering that they may have been raised in a specific way, and they may in fact believe differently than me, that's okay. I prefer the chance to believe differently and respect and require the freedom to believe differently than other people. My father used to say that he would have, and I get a lot of this conversationalist type things from him because we've had long conversations, but he would tell me about conversations with he and his friends, where they would be able to sit around and talk from very different backgrounds and very diverse belief systems. And he said, they'd all say, look, I may not agree with you. And I may not agree with your position, but I'll fight to the death to defend it, to defend your ability or your right to believe differently than me. And ultimately, you know, this country was based on people trying to escape a place or, you know, a belief system that they felt they were being forced into, which ultimately can come down to a brainwashing. I don't want to force anybody into my belief system, so I have to take time to consider, and I don't need to know the reasons. I don't need to know the reasons that they believe differently. That's very difficult to understand, to get to that point. But I can get to understanding on a more superficial level using consideration. So let's take these two different people, a Democrat and a Republican, or, you know, person A and person B. Person A must consider the possibility that there are circumstances and reasons that person B, or the Democrat and the Republican, believe differently from each other. Take that consideration so that they cannot fight about the issue, and they can understand that the core issue is, if you consider the issue, it's not about taxes where, you know, we're going to argue and we're going to fight tooth and nail about taxes. It's about this person. What's important to both sides is that they're able to believe and live based on their beliefs freely and have those feelings. Now, on a more personal level, with the consideration side of it, it affects relationships, personal relationships. So considering the feelings of another person, and I use a story of when I was a young man and I was dating a girl in New York. I was a teenager, and at one point I moved away. I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and of course I had a real distaste for it. I was, you know, a little bit of a, I don't know if I had a chip on my shoulder or what, but I was upset, and primarily it was because I had to leave my friends and family. But I was dating this girl, and I did love her, and I believe that she was my first love. But again, things happen, maybe puppy love, who knows what the definition of it was. And we would talk on the phone just about every day. And she was a very considerate young woman, and she was very mature for her age, and I mean that in a positive way. A lot of times people will say, oh, this little girl's too mature for her age, very mature, which they're implying that they're spending too much time with adults, or they're spending, you know, being promiscuous, or they're being delving into adult issues. But she was mature in the way she would handle things openly and honestly with me. And consideration of others is a sign of maturity, of internal personal maturity, I believe. So after, you know, a few months of us being separated, being parted, you know, a significant distance in our relationship, that takes a toll on a relationship, and it's very difficult. It requires commitment on a very strong level, which teenagers, for the most part, should not get into commitments. Most people should not get into commitments until they've considered what those commitments mean. But we were speaking on the phone, and, you know, it's been a while since we'd seen each other, and, you know, we had our talks, and things were good, and we would express our love to each other. But she told me one day that she had a friend in high school, and this friend that she had, they had been hanging out, or they hung out for the most part, or they'd see each other in the hallway pretty regularly, daily, I presume, during school, high school, as you do. And she wanted to discuss this with me, and she said to me, she believes that she's starting to like this guy. Now, I'm her boyfriend, and she's speaking openly with me about that. That was painful. It was painful for me. But she was considering the big picture. To consider my feelings beyond just that initial pain, to consider the greater good, and to consider that how she would want to be treated at its core level. Superficially, would say, oh, I was considering your feelings, so I didn't tell you, and I've done it. I've deceived people, I've lied by omission. I've lied outright because I was considering the other person's temporary feelings. I didn't want to hurt them with that little bit of information, but I had not considered their core feelings or the actual end result of what could have happened. And next, I believe I'm going to discuss respectfulness and consideration also. And understanding will bring you to the behavior of treating someone respectfully, which is also very important for righteousness. Well, she said to me, I've been hanging out with this guy. I've seen him. He's a nice guy. He's a good dude. And I'm starting to like him. And like I said, I'm her boyfriend. I'm like, ouch. You know, like, first I'm thinking, how can you say that to me? But then, you know, when I got upset, she told me she's starting to like him. She doesn't know what she wanted to be honest with me because she felt it was more important, considering that even though I might not like the feeling of her being honest with me, that she would, and that she knew that ultimately Most human beings want you to be outright and honest, even at your own detriment. She had not committed to this guy. She hadn't gone down a road differently with him. But she brought it to the table with me because she considered the effect that this could have on me if, say, in fact, things had progressed. I think I got upset, hung up the phone in my anger and my pain, which hurt and anger. Next season, I think I'm going to delve into some of the negative things to avoid more specifically, and some of the feelings and the effects that they can have, such as hurt and anger, which are significant catalysts to bad behavior and things to avoid. But she considered these things, and she considered my feelings, and considered what she would ultimately want, rather than me continuing. It would have been terrible. But I called her back, and I spoke to her after the fact, and I thanked her, because I did realize that had she not told me, had she not been considerate of me, to tell me, to give me the honesty and to tell me the truth, I would have been hanging around and she would have been dating and having a good time or doing whatever she would be doing in New York while I was, you know, just hanging by a string or hanging on a thread, waiting with some false hope. And it dabbles with that strong precept of hope when you're inconsiderate of someone else's feelings. So I called her back and I thanked her. Now, ultimately, I did have to. It didn't work out. We went separate ways at that point, which was appropriate considering the distance and considering the circumstances of what was going on. Quite possibly God had placed this woman or this man in her path for that, but that didn't work out either. But you gotta test the waters, right? You gotta pursue things as they're put in front of you. But she was very considerate, and I felt that she was considerate of my feelings by giving me that honest truth, so that I wasn't wasting my time and ultimately dealing with more and more and more hurt down the road as she began to slowly distance or have distance between us. So when you're dealing with another human being, you have to consider, and it's difficult, and I said this with the apples and oranges, which is why people will have their truth and I'll have my truth, and I despise those terms. When you're dealing with someone who has their own truth, I don't have my truth. I have to define a truth. I have to say that there is a chair there. I see that chair in front of me, and in truth, that chair is there, whether or not I have my own determination or my truth. I have to seek the actual truth. So considering that in actual truth, another person's feelings may be hurt because of the way you're behaving. Another example of something that comes across with me regularly is, and I discussed this earlier, my coarse language or my harsh language. To me, it's something that I believe has value when I deal with, when people deal with me and they're transparent, they speak freely. They say, oh yeah, I'm not going to use the terminology on here, but people who know me in real life know that I often use sentence enhancers on a almost sentence-by-sentence basis. But sometimes the things that I say can have a negative effect on someone, whether or not they have a negative effect on me. And we had discussed how in judgment, you don't want, if somebody eats meat for the glory of God and another person does not eat meat, and if even it's not for the glory of God, they don't believe that they're doing anything wrong, either of them, and in fact they believe that they're okay doing what they're doing, then let them do their thing. It's not your place to tell one person or another person what they should be doing. God accepts them both for the most part, as long as their intentions, and only He can know that, are pure, and He'll help them stand on their own. So considering that, even though I know, I do know it, someone else may not know that same thing. I know that my coarse language is not, in fact, an affront to God. Now, I believe that cursing in the true way of saying, you know, certain things, the term damn has a definition, and that's why me personally, it has a definition to me. I have to avoid using that term, especially when I'm saying it about a person or something, damning something. I believe that that is cursing, and I believe because of my own understanding of the term, I avoid that, and I don't like when people do those things to me. So I have to consider that my coarse language, although I know, and when I say I know that from externally, people are going to have different beliefs than me, and they may know otherwise, and it's important that we know things that we believe. Spend enough time believing something until you can commit to it to know it, because then you can, that's important to faith. And when we get to faith, we'll discuss how important it is to go from believing something to knowing it. But someone may believe differently than I know, and my behavior may cause them pain or discomfort or put them in strife or set them down a bad course of anger and hurt because of something I've said or I've done, even though I know otherwise. I need to take time to consider that fact. Consideration. I need to take into consideration and give these people the freedom, because I want that freedom. I need to strip away the specifics of saying that if I use this word, I know it doesn't mean anything. We're still too superficially looking at consideration. Consideration needs to strip that down and say, well, considering that it may mean something to them, taking that into consideration, because there are things, as I said, damning. When somebody uses the word damn, I put that in the category of cursing, while others may not, and they throw that term around, using the Lord's name in vain. Because of my beliefs and my knowledge of it, it has a significant effect on me. So when other people use these terms, I do. Now, I'm not as sensitive. It does. I do get a little cringe when people do those things. But I consider that, in fact, to them, it doesn't mean or have the weight that it has for me. So I'm having consideration for my aggressor or for the person who's even offending me. I have consideration that their intention may not be to offend me. Their intent, I consider that they may not know. And even if they are intending to hurt me, I consider that they may not know. So I'm often able to, even when I deal with a little bit of that pain and discomfort, consider that the other person is doing it out of a place of foolishness or lack of education or lack of understanding or lack of appropriate, proper upbringing, which is why the value of a mother and a father, I believe, is very significant in the upbringing of children, is because there are two perspectives and strengths with both sexes. While men and women are equal, there is clearly differences and value to those differences through estrogen and testosterone in itself, because those chemicals create different behaviors and understandings and perspectives. But when considering my words and my behavior, I have to get down, instead of saying that I know I'm not doing anything wrong, I need to consider that the people around me may feel that I am, may disagree with me on a core level, on a level that offends their sensibilities or their beliefs, or gives them that very cringeworthy feeling that I get. And that leads us to understanding, because I can understand now what it's like to feel that way. I can understand when something offends you or hurts you or makes you feel a certain way. because of considering another person's feelings. So it ultimately brings us to the place where we don't need to know or to determine. It comes to judgment here when we determine our own position that something should or should not offend or bother someone. That's not the issue. The issue is that it does. And understanding that it's not about the apple or whether or not they should agree or take the same position as you, whether they should is an issue. People should or shouldn't do anything. As I said, I think in the first or second episode, there's a lot of things that people could determine that I should or should not have done, but that they could not, they were clearly not considering my circumstances or my upbringing or my habits or my own personal beliefs that they might be different. And they, without considering that, they couldn't get to the point of understanding. And the understanding is key into being genuine and not being disingenuous with people when we interact with them. Because when we are, if we don't understand their position, and we can understand when we get to the core issue, when we strip away the because, and I'll speak a little bit about the because helping us after we've given them consideration, and we've given it some consideration, we can get to understanding when we find ourselves at a because. And the because is where we can't know, and we need not even know. So for example, this person should like apples because they're delicious to me. Well, all we need to know is that they don't like apples. They've made it clear in whatever their behavior was, whether they handled it appropriately and said, hey, I just don't like apples, or whether they handled it poorly or inappropriately by saying, I can't believe, and yelling and starting a conflict out of a disagreement, which is why consideration and understanding should help us avoid conflict, which is a part of seeking a righteous path, to try to avoid conflict, because conflict breeds more conflict. And as a military man, I do understand it. And there is a time for peace and a time for war. So there is a time for certain things. And that just does not mean that you should not stand up for what you believe in, but you should stand up for what you believe in out of keeping yourself in alignment with love, where we'll get to. But the because is the thing that can get us to understanding, because people don't know the reasons why unless you explain it to them. And everybody does not want to explain why they feel a different way, nor should, maybe. They have to, because the should or the shouldn't is something that we have to take away. But when you're considering someone's feelings, I consider that this person, it's clear to me that they don't like the apples, or that they may not, or just everyone. Whether or not it's clear to me, I can presume the apples is not the thing. Why would someone not like apples? Because, insert whatever reason there, at that point, you've delved into the area to determine that you're not at the lowest level. Now, if you said this person may or may not like apples because of their taste buds, well, now you've gone into that. Now, I would steer away from that, but sometimes people need that to get to understanding. Now, understanding at its most core level, you'll ultimately, once you have that because, or even if you don't have that because, you'll still have understanding that you don't need the because. But if you want to go delve into it a little more and understand the human psyche, they may not like apples because they have a different sense of taste than I do. So then now we go to that statement. This person has a different sense of taste than I do because. Now, we're still not at the core level. If I can come up with a possible reason, then I haven't gotten to the core issue. This person may have different taste buds because genetically through, you know, their heritage or their genetic line, they've developed a different sense of taste, or maybe through their developmental process growing up. So then why? Now we go because. So this person has a different genetic and genetic lineage that's affected their taste buds. Why? Well, because they have different parents than I do. So you see, we can keep going down. Now, why do they have different parents? Well, they have different parents because. So now we're getting into the weeds here, into these things. Ultimately, it comes down to that there is a reason. Because of insert any reason here, there is a reason. Maybe they just don't want somebody telling them to eat apples. They don't like anybody telling them what to do. So in that because, people will lose understanding. They can't understand the because. It doesn't register with their mind. So to get true understanding, dismiss the cause, the true cause, and understand that you do not need to know the cause. All you need to know is to dismiss the because and leave the core issue as something that you should correct. Sometimes people want to change the thinking, but I like to understand further. So I will often ask questions and say, why? Why? If I can't find myself being genuine, if I find myself in a position where I'm being disingenuous, where I'm just treating them, or I'm not, or I'm behaving as if I consider or understand their behavior, but I truly don't, then I'm being disingenuous and I'm unable to deal with them at a genuine level. And if you want to seek righteousness, you have to be genuine in your behavior and you have to find ways. So once you find the cause, you need to abandon it. Now, for your own understanding, to understand if you want to do it, then find the answers, find it, ask around if you can, but start understanding at the core issue, because there are things that other people don't share. There are reasons for your behavior, reasons for you, for your thought processes or your beliefs, no matter what they be. You need not justify, or you don't want to justify or go into the because. Those people that say, why? I'm one of those people that want to know why. Well, if you want to get to the point of understanding quicker, then all you need to understand is that they have an issue with it because of some reason. And if you want to handle it from a place of love, you need to understand that that reason, or give it justification without knowing it. It actually becomes more difficult sometimes to understand something when you go down to it and it's in conflict with your position or your perspective on things. And if that's the case, you'll find it very difficult then even further to be genuine. So if you leave it at its basal level, that I can understand that there is a reason, being considerate of the fact that this person is offended or is angry or hurt by my words or my behavior or even my appearance, which again, not justifiable. And justice is something that we'll hopefully get into down the road. It's not justifiable behavior. My behavior is not justifiable, nor need it be. But I understand that other people may have reasons that I cannot understand, and if I go down that road, then I'll find myself potentially in a place of additional conflict with them, in a place of being angry or being confused or feeling out of sorts. Or so grab the understanding as soon as possible by not having to delve down deeper. Sometimes understanding deeper and more specifically can help you give someone perspective, but for the most part, people are not receptive. If you find somebody who is receptive to other perspectives, then that person is open-minded and has often set themselves up for significant personal growth. So I do recommend that you surround yourself with people that are open to understanding or open to kind understanding and seeking those answers, but that requires also that you be okay with understanding that this person may have a core internal belief that is in opposition to your core internal beliefs. And at that point, conflict is right there on the edge. When you get to the point where you've said why, then you get down to that issue where we disagree on a core issue here, conflict will be bred. Conflict is waiting at that point, because now you're dealing with something that is important to you or important to them, and they are, you've determined they are at odds, when all you need to know is that there is a reason that is justifiable or is understandable to them that leads them to being hurt or leads them to being angry. And that's all you need to understand. Consideration for the other person should lead you to the place where you do not require that you understand all of the depths and the weeds and the intricacies of their belief system in order to treat them kindly. So with understanding, the quicker you can understand that by putting yourself in their position, by considering that you yourself as a human being have been in a position where someone has done something that has offended you or angered you, that it's not in the best interests of kind behavior to delve into the depths necessarily. Now, down the road, you can, and I do think there's value to that, and I'll discuss developing further understanding, and when at certain points, once you understand that you are at a core disagreement with this person, or that you are at an odds in a important belief system, whether or not you can handle that and how you should behave in keeping with the precepts of love, kindness, patience, understanding, selflessness, slow to anger, keeping no record of wrongs, and we'll get into that. So to keep yourself in line with that, all you need to understand, if you're truly considering the core issue, that this person is at disagreement with me and is offended or is hurt by the thing that I'm doing, just understand that. Stop there. When you find yourself saying, I need to know why, or this person feels that way, because you're going to be stepping away potentially, or setting yourself for a higher risk of misunderstanding, because then there's more differences and intricacies to the human being in why they do things than there is for the fact of what is actually happening. Understand what is taking place and put aside the reasons why when you're interacting with another human being. Consider that in fact they are upset, and it may be for reasons that you cannot understand, that you would not understand, that you should not, from your position, understand. And these are internal things. And because, say, for example, I say 2 + 2 = 4, and this offends someone. Now, from my standpoint, that should not offend them. All I'm doing is speaking truth. But to consider that there have been times when I have been wrong on something that I thought I absolutely knew, that this person does not know it. That's all they need to know, and how to treat them. I understand only that they are offended, they are upset, and that we disagree, without going further into the weeds. And then how do I behave with that person? Well, if you can keep it that superficial there, with the understanding, consideration, you need to consider the person's feelings. You don't need to delve into the specifics. Now, when somebody's doing the same to you, when somebody is behaving in a way that hurts you or makes you angry or brings you or offends something in you, the consideration and understanding applies the same way. It is much more difficult, though. The onus, the responsibility, from my perspective, should be on the person who is offending the other person, the person who is hurting the other person, the person whose behavior or words are the catalyst to the potential conflict. So when someone is doing that, it's essentially their responsibility, from my standpoint, to be the one that needs to have the additional consideration, because the person who's in the place of hurt or anger is going to have a much more difficult time because of what those feelings and those emotions do to the individual. So say, for example, someone, in a relationship, a man and a woman are friends and they both have intention, or they both want to pursue a further relationship than friendship. And one person, let's say the man is friends with a lot of other women, and the woman, on the other hand, is not. In all other facets, they are perfectly matched, or everything is fantastic. But when this man speaks to other women, his significant other, or this relationship that they now have after being friends, they come together, it hurts or offends, it hurts the woman because she has her own issues. She's wrong, maybe, and this is something that I've dealt with. She's wrong, potentially, in that, this is bred of jealousy, maybe, or insecurity, or whatever it is. But for the man to say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, now we're getting into the because it's not accurate. Well, to them, it doesn't matter. They still feel that way. And so to consider that I'm not going to be able to change habits, upbringing, internal core beliefs in someone necessarily, just considering their feelings. And at that point, you have to determine, this is where you take into account how you handle this behavior. I have to say, are there things that I'm insecure about or that I don't like in other people, in their behavior, that I know, or that they tell me it's not an issue. They say, no, you shouldn't be worried about this, or no, this should not bother you because nothing is happening. Well, I'm not considering their feelings, I'm delving into the depths. All that should matter to me, and it has in the past, for example, I've been in multiple relationships, at least three relationships, where the women that I've been with have asked me to no longer have friendships or relationships with other women because they'd say, oh, well, it's not you, it's because of this other person, or no, you don't know what women are like. She's looking for this or looking for that. And they may be right, they may be wrong. All that matters to me is that this person is hurt by it and that it will breed conflict. Now, I have a decision to make at that point without delving into the depths, is to say, well, this is something that either I'm going to continue hurting this person if I can't abandon those relationships. If this relationship with my significant other is important to me, or the most important relationship to me, then maybe I do have to sacrifice and abandon this thing that I think is so important to me, or that I know I'm not doing anything wrong with, or is not destructive or counterproductive. I don't want to continue to hurt this person. So then you include them and you have an open dialogue, communication in your decisions and your understanding, or in your consideration of this person's feelings. As I said with that one of my first, it was really my second girlfriend, but where she considered that something would be an issue for me, and how do we deal with it? That opening that line through consideration, and then understanding that they're hurt, only understanding the feelings. So having this consideration and having this understanding based on what you can associate it with, meaning that if someone doesn't like apples, instead of me forcing them to have apples, I can understand that there's been things that someone's tried to force me to have or give me out of the kindness of their heart that I did not want, that I did not desire, or that we differed on our positions or our tastes or whatever. I understood by my own putting myself in their shoes that there have been times and things, it can't be about the specifics. We need to dismiss the specifics of it and only focus on what is actually taking place, which is that someone is hurt or offended by our behavior, and then not needing to understand anything more than that I have been that way. I understand that they are, and I understand that I can't run around and spend hours in interactions with every human being I meet to make sure that they're aware of all of my beliefs and everything that's important to me. They do come up, and you should be open with that. But when you find yourself after consideration and giving that person understanding, where now you have to make a decision. So say my ex, let's call her Martha. All right. So let's say Martha has said to me, I don't like your relationship with your friend. Let's call her Julie. Martha's my wife or my girlfriend says, I don't like your relationship with Julie. It hurts me. And I don't need to know why. If I want to work on it with her, then, you know, communication would hopefully with your spouse be able to say, well, I can go down that road with my spouse. Superficial relationships, keep them, or even friends, keep them, and understand that you have to determine most, for the most part, based only on that initial feeling that they're hurt. So they don't want me to have this relationship. Martha does not want me to have this relationship with Julie that I may have had for 20 years. And it may be a fantastic relationship. It may be an important relationship to me. Now I need to make a determination after I've considered it and understanding and understood that there's hurt here. And I'm considering her feelings. And I need not go into the weeds, because more than likely you're not going to get to the truth of it, that it's just bred of Martha's insecurities. She won't say that. It's very difficult. Or she wouldn't. And I'm speaking of a specific person that I was with, although her name is not Martha. She would never be able to get to that point. She wouldn't be able to tell me truthfully and honestly why. She would have to, it couldn't be because of her own insecurity. She would have to say, well, this person is always touching you, or this person is, and I know people like that, and have a whole laundry list of reasons why their position, or to justify the reasons why they're feeling that hurt, and to justify the reasons for them asking you to do something so significant as end your relationship with Julie, or end my relationship with Julie. Now I have to make a determination. I can't walk the fence on these things. It doesn't work. You end up still hurting, and you'll end up hurting both sides. I've been there. I've tried to walk the fence many times and tried to be able to not hurt one or the other and keep in that middle ground. But when it comes to commitment, which we will talk about again in latter episodes here, you have to commit to a certain behavior. You have to commit to a side. You have to commit, or else you'll end up doing damage to both, or weakening your own character. You'll end up being multiple people. You'll end up being a diluted version of yourself, because you will not have committed to position A or position B. You'll have trying to play both sides of the fence. Now, you don't have to join a team, but you do have to make a decision. And you have to make a decision sometimes to hurt party A or party B. And those are the tough times where, even with consideration and understanding, you need to spend time to consider the importance of both relationships. Now, you could take the position of, with Martha, well, Martha, if you're asking me to do this thing based on my beliefs, I believe that you're in the wrong and I cannot take your position, which seems to be a very understandable position. Unfortunately, there is also an understandable position on the other side, and these are the difficult decisions that we're faced with. The other position could be, well, Martha, you're my significant other and Julie is not. And because I've committed to you in one fashion or another, that you're the importance of that relationship, or I've committed to myself that being in that relationship with you must have weight. It must have weight over other relationships. Now I must take your position and end my relationship with Julie, my friendship that I've had for 20 years. Now, that's where there's loss and there's sacrifice, but I understood Martha's position on why she wanted me to do those things, because I considered her feelings. I considered that I might not be able to get to the truth. Now, after enough experience with these conscious thought processes, I do know that it was bred of insecurity. So from that point on, I tried to overcompensate. There's also the solution of saying, look, now here's the importance of the people that you're around, but you can try to come to solutions where it's, if the other person you're with knows that these things are bred of insecurity and is able to wear their heart on their sleeve, which is a very valuable it is a valuable thing to have in your life when people can wear their heart on their sleeve, when they can be genuine and be honest about their feelings and open about them, then you delve into the understanding. And those are the people that those relationships get stronger with, when you're able to delve into disagreements without conflict, when you're able to delve into disagreements of issues without conflict. But at that point, you do end up potentially sacrificing your beliefs and your ability to stand up for what you believe in. So you have to challenge yourself and say, let's delve down to the core issues with people before you commit to them. And this is going to lead us into commitment. Take time to consider the feelings of a person when you're interacting with them, and when you find yourself potentially a conflict potentially arising, consider their feelings without having to delve into the depths of understanding the reasons why, and stop at understanding that you have been in a place where you may have been hurt or angry for reasons that may even be difficult for the person to acknowledge. It's difficult for me to say, well, the reason why I feel this way is because I'm insecure. And that's not something I can just change overnight, and probably not something that I could change 10 years from now. It takes a lot to change a man. It takes a lot to try, but I do try. But some things I find I just have difficulty overcoming. So understanding that there may be something that they don't want to wear on their sleeve, that they don't want to put out on the table, because that would expose them, that would give a vulnerability. And that's why it's important, on superficial level, you're able to just stop at the consideration, consider their feelings, that they're hurt, and not having to worry about the reasons why or understanding all of the reasons why. You need only understand that there have been times where you've been hurt and people couldn't understand, or that it would have taken a year to explain, or that you didn't want to expose your own vulnerabilities to them for the sake of protecting yourself. And then when you use commitment and consideration and understanding in any type of committed relationships or commitments to another person, you do need to consider more of their upbringing and the other reasons that there may be, but you do need to understand why. You do need to understand those core issues if you choose to lock arms in any commitment with them, whether it's a business partnership or something that is of a higher level. And there are higher level relationships in the world that need be touched on with great caution. And that'll lead us to the next segment, which is, I'm going to speak a little bit about a commitment. I thank you for listening. to high-minded seeking righteousness, and I thank you for coming along with me on this journey. And like I said, hopefully I'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.